We're in Simen Lamed Beis, the halachas of writing the tefillin. We are up to Sif Chaf. We'll be doing Chaf through Chaf Gimel. And let's begin. The Mechaber says, Tzorech ledaktek, you've got to be careful, b'chaseros v'yaseros. When you write the letters, to make sure not to leave any out. That means a letter that is sometimes spelled with a vav, sometimes without a vav. Make sure that when it's supposed to have it, it has it. When it doesn't, it doesn't. She'im chisar o yisar, if you have too few or too many, meaning if you left one out or you added one in, os achas, one letter, psulin, the tefillin are puzzle, and this the Mishnah Berurah says is even if it doesn't make a difference to the pronunciation or the meaning. Vinimtsu, and what happens if one writes tefillin that are puzzle? Hamanichem osim avarchem b'chol yom bracha levatala, you're causing people to make a bracha levatala every day. V'gam shori b'chol yom b'lo mitzvah tefillin. And it turns out that because of the sofer, this person who thought he was putting on tefillin is not putting on tefillin on a daily basis. V'nimtza onish ha-sofer meruba, and the onish, the punishment of the sofer is going to be a lot. Mishnah Berurah adds something else. He's also over on gezel, because he charged for these parashiyos. Lochein, tzarech lios ma'od yirei shamayim v'chorei l'dvar Hashem. You've got to be especially careful. Ha-mesasek b'ksivis tefillin v'tikunan, whoever is involved in both the writing as well as in any aspect of preparing the tefillin or repairing tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah brings different sources that talk about situations where you have people that are sofrim that have apprentices and they allow their apprentice to write for them. Of course, they sell it in their own name and the apprentice is nowhere up to their standards. One of the points he makes is that the apprentice may not even be writing for the sake of Kedushas Tefillin. For all you know, the apprentice is just trying it out. And aside from that, he's not really great. The apprentice will often make mistakes. And there's one thing he says at the end in the name of the Sefer Chassidim, V'tzidkoso omedes la'ad ze hamezakeh rabim. The Pasuk says, Tzidkoso omedes la'ad, that is referring to one who benefits the Rabbim, he is Mezake the Rabbim. What is that? Kagon. Hamalamed liyirei Hashem tikun tefillin letaken lacherim. Someone who trains other people in just how to get tefillin done correctly. Vayim b'simen lamentes masay adam roi lichtov tefillin. We will see this later when it is correct for someone to actually be involved in writing tefillin. So one has to be sure that he is actually getting tefillin from a Yirei Shemayim who knows the halakhas, because there are sometimes that there are things in halacha that cannot be detected later. For example, if a letter was not kosher and was repaired in a way that is considered redoing the os altogether, and it was done after it was written, we're going to find that that may be considered shaloka sidron. You have no idea what order these letters were written in. So as a result, though, you've got to be careful that the tefillin be written by a Yirei Shamayim, not just because of inyanim, because they're better tefillin written by someone who's a Yirei Shamayim, but just to know that they're absolutely kosher. That was Sif Chaf. Chaf Aleph. Kol parsha acher sheyichtavenu. After the sofer writes the parsha, yikorena heitev b'chavana v'dikduk, he should read it carefully with chavana, pamayim v'sholosh, twice and three times. The Yatzer v'Yikrenu Kodem Shitnena B'Soch Beisok Reishol Tischalot B'Parsha B'Parsha, and must look at it again. He says here to read it, but this time it's not B'Dikduk and Kavana. He has to look at it an additional time, meaning the first time what he does is he's done writing, read it over again three times to make sure you've got all the letters in there and that the letters were written carefully. Aside from that, when you're about to put them into the Batim, make sure take a good look at the parsha to make sure that you're putting the right parsha into the right bias. Chav Beis, Tov Lenasos Hakumis Kodim Shiyaschil Lichtov HaParsha. He should try out the quill before he begins writing the parsha. Shelo Yehalav Dio Yoser Midai. There should not be too much ink on it. The Yafsid. Because what happens is when you write a letter and there's too much ink on it, it's going to end up thickening the letter, the ink may run, and you're going to end up getting the wrong shape. So that you do not simply start using a quill. What you do is you try it out first, and then you start writing. V'chein yizor kodem shiichtov kol shem. Another thing. Every time you're about to write the Shem Hashem, likros kol ma shekosav, to read everything that you've written before that. Because if you made a mistake, you can always go and scratch it out. Not if you're about to write the shame. If you write the shame, it's going to need gniza. You're going to have to put it in gniza, because there's going to be no way of repairing it. Therefore, before you write a shame, read over again all of what you've written already up until the shame. Sifrav Gimel. Im Motza. Yes, I should mention some Mishnah Brura on Chav Beis. The Mishnah Brura says. Mishnah Brura says that whenever someone's about to write the shame, he had to have used the ink for a different letter first. The halach is we never use a quill that was freshly dipped into ink to begin writing the Shem Hashem, for fear that it may spread and then you'll have problems of mechikas Hashem in order to make the letter look nice. So you're always supposed to try write another letter before the Shem Hashem, meaning make sure that you dip just before you write the last letter before the Shem Hashem, and then this way you'll be able to continue the Shem Hashem. Now, what happens if you ran out of ink in the middle of the Shem? So here you have a problem. What are you going to do? You dip it now, you can't start writing the Shem Hashem. So he says, look back. See if there is another letter, a letter before the Shem Hashem, that has not yet dried. Dip your quill into that and take ink from that letter to continue writing the Shem Hashem. Now, what if everything before the Shem Hashem is dry? Can you take some from the Shem Hashem itself? So the Mishnah Berurah brings two opinions with regard to that. Some hold you can. Some hold that it is not right to even take from the Shem Hashem for the sake of writing another letter in the Shem Hashem. Another thing you can do is dip the quill into the ink and then fix another letter or another tag that may not be clear. Of course, we are talking about where these other letters or tagin are repaired in a way where the letter was kosher without it, so that you should not have a problem of shaloka sidron, writing things out of order. Now to Sifchav Gimel. Imatza shechoser osasha shechisach osachas. If it turns out that you left out one letter, ein lo takana. There's nothing to do. Sheim kein hayuksuvim shaloka sidron upsulim. Because if you're going to then add that letter in, everything that was written afterwards was written shaloka sidron because it was written before that letter. Mishum deksiv v'hayu. It says v'hayu in the parsha b'havayosan yehu. They should be in their proper way of being, which means in order. So what can you do if you have to add a letter? You'll have to scrape off everything that you've already written from the point where that letter belongs. Then you can add the letter. So if there's a Shem Hashem afterwards, there's nothing you can do. There's a Shem Hashem, since you can't scratch it out, just adding the letter is not going to be good enough. V'im yisir osachas. What happens if you put in an extra letter? Yesh lo takana al yidei shigur osa. All you have to do is scratch that letter out. Im hi besof teva o betrilasa. If it is at the beginning or the end of the word, because if you have a little too much extra space between words, that will not make your tefillin puzzle. You're allowed to have extra space. Now the Mishnah Berurah mentions that between words, although you're allowed to have space, you're not supposed to have enough space to call it a new parsha. We will later get into the halachas of what is called a new parsha, psucha, stuma. The minimum amount of space that would render something a new parsha is in dispute. Rav Poskim hold that it is 9 letters. So the Mishnah Berurah says that if what you're going to have to do is scratch something off that will leave you a space of 9 letters, then that would mean that you'd fill in a puzzle. So what he does suggest you do then in such a case is extend one of the previous letters. I mean, it would have to be the previous letter, the letter just before the space, if it is an extendable letter. So if it's a dalid or a resh, you can extend it, and this way you'll be left with space that is less than the space for 9 letters. He says, l'chatchila, you should really keep it less than 3 letters, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, the space for 3 letters is already enough to divide it into 2 parshias. So this is if you've got a space. Now, what happens if you do have a space and you want to go and stretch a letter? The problem is that the letter before it is not stretchable. The letter after it is stretchable. But there's a problem with that, because how do you stretch the letter afterwards? Let's say you have a resh afterwards. In order to stretch it, what you're going to have to do is scrape off the leg of the resh, lengthen the roof, and then put the leg down again. At that point, your resh was puzzle, which means that your tefillin were written shalo kesidron. You postle the resh and then were machshir it again, and that happened after you wrote what was afterwards, so that wouldn't work. What you could do in some letters is just thicken the letter itself. So that let's take the case of a resh. You can give the resh a very thick leg. In other words, the leg will be as thick as the roof even, and that will still be kosher, not beautiful, but it will be kosher. And you can do that in order to minimize the space between two words where you had to scratch out a word. Now, another thing, what happens if you wrote a word twice? And the most common case of writing something, or writing an entire word that doesn't belong there, is when a word was written twice. So, l'chatchila, the one to be scratched out, is the second one. Because when you wrote the first one, that belonged there. When you wrote the second one, that was not a word that belonged there. L'chatchila, you should scratch out the second one. Whereas, if the first one is situated right after a letter that is stretchable, and the second one is not, then you're better off scratching out the first one, and this way you'll be able to stretch the letter before it so that you'll have less space there. So in that case, it would be mutter. Not only that, but what happens if you wrote a word that doesn't belong there altogether? Can you use some of its letters in order to fix it up? So, for example, the Mishnah Berurah says, what happens if you wrote an extra word, but it ends in the same letter as the word just before it? So you had a word that ended in a vav, and then you put in an extra word that ends in a vav also. Say the word before it, had a letter that is stretchable. So for example, the word tizkaru, it ends in resh vav. After tizkaru, you just wrote another word that totally doesn't belong there, but ends in vav. So what you'd like to do is scratch out the vav of tizkaru, and then stretch the resh, scratch out the entire word that doesn't belong there, and then use the vav of that superfluous word as the vav of tizkaru now. So the Bir Halacha brings down that is mutter, but he leaves it as a tzarechi, and he says that it would stand to reason that a letter that is part of a word that really didn't belong there, where you're automatically turning it into the word that belonged there, it's tzarechi and how that should be considered part of your tefillin. He brings out the poskim, say it's all right, but he leaves it at tzarechin of why exactly that should work. Now we go further in the Mechaber. Avalim hi be'emtza teva. What happens if you have something extra in the middle of a word? Lo. There you cannot scratch something out. Mishum d'sheyigror yenira kishtei tevos. Because there you're going to be left with two different words. So that, let's say you have an extra letter in a word. If you scratch that out, then you're left with what will now appear like two words rather than one word because you're left with a space in the middle. The Mishnah Berurah says that even there, if the letter before the space is stretchable, you can stretch it. Even though before you stretched it, this looked like two words, that is not a lack of kesidra. The explanation being that the halacha of shelo kesidron only applies to the tzuris ha'osios. You have to have all the letters there. In terms of the spaces between them, where you're going to incorrectly read the words, you're going to read this in particular as two words, that would not make it shelo kesidron. So that, let us say you have a case where you have an extra vav, and by a larger letter even, and by scratching it out, the letters before and after it will now appear as if they're two separate words. If the letter before the vav was something like a resh or a dalet where you can stretch it, then that'll be kosher. We would not call the shelo kesidron, despite the fact that before you extended that letter, there was a space there and it appeared as if you had two words here. The Mishnah Berurah has a suffix now in the case of a letter where the top of it, the roof of it, is not stretchable, but the base of it is stretchable. For example, a case of a nun or a tzadi. Say a nun or a tzadi, the roof is just a yud. There's not much you can do to extend a tzadi or a nun. However, the base of it is extendable. So he says, what happens if you extend that? Let's say you had a letter and you scraped off the letter and now appears as if you've got two words. So you extend the bottom of a tzadi or the bottom of a nun. Do we say that you're filling the space and it no longer resembles two words? Or do we say that it's got to be that at the very top you fill it in? So at the top, you're going to have a space that doesn't belong there. What's the halacha going to be? The Mishnah Berurah says that it will not work. You cannot just extend the bottom of it unless it was written initially in a way that letter was there. In other words, if I had a tzadi and then it was followed by a yud, and I had a very long base of the tzadi that actually went under the yud, which incidentally you're not supposed to do. Every letter should have its own air space. It should be a square or a rectangle, depending on the letter, and the airspace of the letter itself should not be invaded by any other letter. But let's say the sofer, for some reason, wrote a tzadi followed by a yud, and the yud was sitting over the space above, it was sitting over the base of the tzadi. Similarly with the Nun. There the Mishnah Berurah says that if the Yud was superfluous, you can scratch it out, and we would not say you've turned it into two words, since the Tzadi was always there. It's only if you extended it artificially that he says that there it would not compensate for a space in the word. One other halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says, what happens if you have a hey followed by a superfluous letter? You're going to scratch it out. You can extend the roof of the hey, even though the left leg of the hey will now be in the middle of the letter. Generally speaking, the left leg of the hay is all the way at the left side of the hay. It is right under the end of the roof. When you extend it, the dot, the left leg of the hay, is going to end up being in the middle. The same thing going with the foot of a kuf, where if you extend the roof of a kuf, its foot is going to be in the middle. Nevertheless, you can extend it in order to fill a space and not leave yourself with a space in the middle of a word that could then be misunderstood to mean two words. So that you can correct it in both of these situations by extending the top, even though you will end up having the left leg in the middle of the word itself.